Brilliant. So if you're primary school age, you're going to stay in. I don't know if you can see, or you guys at the back can see. Do you want to move where you can see the pictures? Make sure you can see. Ah, we got the sewer. I just wonder whether we turn the lights down a little bit, because I think it would make it, that's what we do in Flame. In fact, in Flame, we make it completely dark some weeks, because then you can see the pictures a little bit more. Luke and I are just going to share a few thoughts on this. I'm going to share a few thoughts first, and then you've got him, and we're going to then just sing a final song before we finish. So, yep. I tend to do the children's work here quite often. And one of my problems is that I bring this a message to the children, and I am so challenged by my own message that I then have to sort of be the first one up for the altar call. So we all kind of come up together and ask that Jesus would work in our hearts. Never more so than for this story, because I found this so, so challenging, this story. So we're turning off the lights, but Nick's got the technology. Brilliant. So there's our sower with his seed, but we're just going to go back a few paces to what was actually happening on this day. Brilliant. Mark's gospel tells us that when Jesus began preaching in Israel, he caused a huge commotion, particularly when he was preaching in this area around Lake Galilee. The Bible tells us there were great crowds gathering on the hillsides at this time. In fact, the Bible also tells us, hey, there it is. The Bible tells us that the crowds were so great because people were coming in, not just from across Israel, but they were coming in from the countries north of Israel to the west over, to the east beyond the River Jordan, and also from the south. People were coming in right across the whole region because Jesus was causing such a stir. It said there were multitudes and multitudes gathering. And in the end, Jesus said to his disciples, the crowds are so great, let's keep a boat near the water, and if the crowds become too many, I'll get in the boat. So this was the day when he needed the boat. There was one particular day. Now, I love this picture. These are old, old drawings. Do you see the figure in white standing on the shore? No, back one. There he is. And the light is coming down onto him. That's Jesus. Do you see the disciples here? They're bringing the boat. And it said this vast crowd looked out, and then he spoke to them from the boat. And on this particular day, the Bible says they had come, the people had come from every single town and city in Israel. There must have been thousands of people on that day. And on that day, he chose to tell this story. So he stands on the boat and he opens his mouth and he says, I think they're very famous words now, a sower went out to sow. So there he is, going out to sow. And then he said, he just told the story. He said some of the seed fell on the path, and the birds, we saw that in the drama, came down and ate the seed. Some fell on the rocks, but the stuff that fell among the rocks, there's the rocks, the stony ground, didn't have much earth. They sprang up, but the sun came, as we saw in our drama very effectively, scorched them and they withered away. And then some fell among the weeds, but the weeds grew up and choked them. And then finally, some fell on the good soil, and there was a great harvest. And then having told this story, Jesus stood in the boat and he did something which he didn't often do. The Bible says he cried out. He lifted up his voice and he shouted over the crowd. He said, listen, he said, if you've got ears, and I just wonder whether he did that like you do to it with a child when you're trying to get them to listen. If you've got ears, he said, you need to hear what I'm saying to you. And then much later that day, the disciples gathered round him. He didn't tell the people what the story meant. He didn't tell them. He just told the story. But later on, it says when he was alone with the disciples, they dared to ask him. They asked him, what does this story mean? And you see, they're leaning forward and they're really trying to listen. And in a way, we need to lean forward inside our own hearts when we read this story and say, what is it that was so important that you were saying to us? And amazingly, he didn't do this with all the parables, but he completely explained what it meant. And he's, first of all, he's talked about the seed. there's a seed. Now, this is really incredible, okay? This is just a seed. From that seed, I don't know what kind of seed that is, there might come some big plant, there might come something with flowers, there might come fruit, there might come fragrance, there might come all sorts of different things. How could that happen? That would be like a miracle. That's just like a seed. The Bible says that the world is full. Not one day will be, but now it is filled with his glory. And today, all over the world, there are millions and millions of these tiny little seeds, and they're growing, and they're producing flowers. How can a flower come out of that? How can fruit come out of that? How can things that we eat, things that we smell, things that we look at? That's just a wonder. And the Bible says that our eyes are often closed to see this glory that's all around us. But Jesus said, this seed is the message. So those seeds all around us that we see naturally are like a vague shadow of this incredible seed in heaven, as it were, that is this message from God. So he said, the seed is the message. So what is the message? I'm going to read straight from the Bible. In Corinthians it says, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel, the message I preached to you, which you received and on which you stand. By this gospel you are saved. For what I received, I passed on to you, this most important message, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised again on the third day. Jesus himself said, it's written that the Messiah would suffer, and on the third day he will rise from the dead, so that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in all the nations. It says one more verse. It says, Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. This is the message. This is the message that Jesus, the perfect one, would die for us, the imperfect ones, to bring us to God. So that's the seed. That's the message. Then he went on and he said, the soils, the types of ground, represent our hearts. Everything about Christianity is about our hearts. It's all about our hearts. Let's quickly look at these various states of heart. We haven't got very much time, so we're going to put the path and the rocks together. In the path, there was no soil, so the seeds never took root and the birds came. The rocks, a tiny little bit of soil, so they grew up, but then they got scorched when difficulties came. The path or the rocks represents our hearts when they become hardened. There you go. Some fell along the path, the hard heart. The Bible tells us, yeah, there was some rocks. Tells us how our hearts become hard. This is an amazing thing. It tells us that our hearts become hard through sin, through when we sin. David Brainerd, who's one of my heroes, and he was there. Oh, there's the picture of him. I forgot we got that. There he is on his horse. He lived 300 years ago, this man, and he went out and he spoke to the Native Americans in America, and he preached the gospel to them. Do you see, he's clinging on to his Bible. He was supported by Christians who sent him money from Scotland so that he would do this. He died very young, but he gave his life to this message. And he used to say to the people, and he spoke of himself, he used to say, we're strangers to our hearts, that often we don't really know the true state of our hearts. And that's what the hard heart is like. Isn't this incredible that when our hearts are hard, you know, we don't even know that? I think that I could say that was true. Jesus said of the Pharisees, it says he was amazed at their hardness of heart. The hard heart, we've been looking at this in flame. How do we know if our hearts are hard? Here's some ways you can tell whether your heart is hard or soft. This is what a hard heart does. It sees the faults of others, but doesn't see its own. That was the problem with the Pharisees. We've got another bit about the hard heart. Doesn't really care about people. Abigail prayed about this. Lord, would you do something in our hearts that we would care? So if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart. And often we can do this. We close our hearts. We think, oh, I can't really be bothered. I'm more bothered about my own stuff than about other people. That's when we can see that our hearts are hard. And then finally, our hearts. We know our hearts are hard when we're not bothered by sin. When we sin, but it doesn't bother us. We lie, or we do something bad, or we don't care about people, or we judge them, and we're not bothered. We're just not really bothered about it. It's a sign that our heart's got a bit hard. And then we've got the weeds. There's the weeds up in the corner. Amazingly for this, and I love this, Jesus told us exactly what the weeds were. amazing. He said these words 2,000 years ago, and yet they're completely applicable to us now. So these are the weeds, the worries of this life. I think we put dot, 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 because I was kind of thinking, in a way, we all know what this is. We could all fill in our own thing. The deceitfulness of riches, dot, dot, dot. And this last one, the desire for other things, things other than God. These are the weeds that grow up in our hearts. This is where we've got to pray, Lord, would you come? Help me pull out these weeds. Pull out the weeds so there's more good soil. We're nearly at the end. We're nearly with Luke. Here we go. And finally, we've got some good news. Way, the kids on Carroty Wood about 3 years ago, they called this the harvest heart. I loved that. That this is the good soil. This is what happens when there's good soil. There's a staggering message at the heart of this. In the story, there isn't a problem with the seed, but with the types of ground it falls on. So in reality, the problem isn't the message of Jesus and of his love, but the problem is with the state of our hearts. And only those who receive and take this message deeply into their hearts will live to see a harvest come. But the amazing thing is that if they do that, there will be a harvest. In reality, we probably conclude that our hearts are a mix of all those things. You might think, well, my heart's a little bit hard. My heart's got some good soil. My heart's got some rocks. My heart's got some path. My heart, it's kind of a mix. So we need to pray, God, would you do something in my heart? How deep is the message of this gospel of Jesus in my heart, in my life? Is it the daily occupation of my mind and my heart? So finally, in flame, we've been praying this prayer. Lord, would you make my heart good soil? Would you take out the hard places, the bitterness, the anger, the complaining, the judgments against others, the love of other things, the worries, occupation with money, and would you make my heart more good soil? Luke, he's got something in his hand, you see. I didn't have any of those.
So I'm going to start with three quick quiz questions. So on the subject of good soil, which we're all going to be, how many species of plants do you think there are in the world? Hands up, there's sugar prizes. So, has anyone got a rough guess? A million? Hundreds. Hundreds of millions. Another one, then we'll go with the closest. A billion. So, Raven's the closest. You can take one out and pass it on. So, there's actually 391,000 species of plants in the world. 370,000 of those are flowering plants, if that's interesting to anyone. Second question, how much of a percentage of the world is forest? Three first guesses. 10% of the world is forest. Anna? 60. So the answer is 30%. So was the 10. 10 was the closest from Anna. Third and final question, how tall is the tallest tree in the world? So they need really good soil for the biggest tree in the world, but how tall do you think it is? Ed? There's two hands up here. 10 meters. 10 feet. Go on, Ed, you ready? Ed's the closest. It's 115 meters in California, which is about 38 stories of building, so very tall. So with the good soil, what do we think is important for good soil and plants to grow? Hands up again quickly. Sun. Sun is one. Rain's another one. Nutrients is another one. So let's talk about water. So in the Bible, water represents the Holy Spirit. And so water is so important for us to be good soil, and it's good for soil in nature to grow for plants. And we need the Holy Spirit. I don't know if the verse, I can read it out. Isaiah 44, verse 3. For I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. So to be good soil, we need to really thirst for the Holy Spirit, for God's living waters to be in us and flowing through us. When we're reading God's word and taking God's word in as the seed, we need the Holy Spirit to be present as we're doing that, so that we can breathe life into God's word in us, so that we're not just using our head, but we're really connecting to God's word in our spirit with the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we had sunshine. So a lot of what has been prayed in flame is about keeping our hearts soft and warm. And God's love is like the sun. Jesus is the Son of God. And so we need God's love in our hearts to keep us warm, keep us soft, so that we can be feeling what others are feeling around us, so that we can be sympathetic and empathetic and learn to love well, so that we're thinking about others and what they're feeling, whether that's friends, family, friends at school, colleagues at work. You know, God's love is the thing that's going to enable us to do that really well. And finally, David mentioned nutrients. So nutrients are really important for plants. And there's one quite clever way in which nutrients get into the soil, and that's kind of connected to the sweets. So if we move on to the next one, because I don't want anyone to not want their lunch. So that's a bit more pleasant to look at. But worms are really, really important to keeping soil good, because they break down dead plants, and in their feces is the good nutrients, which goes into the plants. So, and there's one really important death that we all need to be chewing and focusing on, and that's the death of Jesus. And so, like worms, we need to digest the truth of the cross, the death of Jesus, into our lives so that we can be good soil. 1 John 3:16 is this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And so as we come to a close today, focusing on the death of Jesus is so important for us to be the good soil that God's word can grow in, because without the death of Jesus, the story, the word is meaningless. It is the death of Jesus and his resurrection that we gather around today, gather around in our own everyday life. Without that, sort of the word of God is void. And because of his death and resurrection, it's God's word in action and life. And so today, if you're hearing that for the first time, God's death and resurrection is so important, and that's what if you go away and ask questions during lunch, that's something to ask about, is who is Jesus? What is his death? What's his resurrection mean? So the three things: water, sunshine, and nutrients, worms, death. So water, the Holy Spirit, we need to be praying for the Holy Spirit. We need to be praying for God's love, and we need to be reminding ourselves of the story of the cross every day, because that's what everything grows from for us. So I'm just going to pray as we close and invite the band up to do the next bit. Dear Jesus, we want to be like the good soil. Help us to listen to God's word and put it into practice in our daily life. Help us to receive your Holy Spirit, to receive your love, and to receive your death and resurrection. In your name we pray. Amen.
Fantastic. Wow. We are going to sing a final song. I don't know if before we sing it, one or two of the children and some have tried might have just come up and really prayed. Jesus said, you need to hear. He's saying that to me. You know, you need to hear what I'm saying, he's saying to us. That he wants to do something in our hearts so that this seed can go deeper, deeper, deeper into us, this message. So we're going to sing a final song in a moment. I don't know if some of the children might come up and pray and just pray that God would touch our hearts. Do you guys at the back want to come, Joel? Abigail, do you want to come up? Yeah, brilliant, the guys, wonderful. They're going to come and pray that God would do a deeper work in our hearts so that there could be a harvest, so that more could happen through our lives, so that we could be more useful. I just want to put up the first verse, which says, Holy Spirit. It's the chorus bit. There it is. Okay, this is what we're going to pray in a minute. Holy Spirit. Wow, I was praying this to God. You are welcome here. Not in this room, but here. In my heart, you are welcome here. I want you to come more into my heart. Come and flood this place, my heart, my life. Fill the atmosphere of my life. And then it makes this incredible statement. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. Well, that's a big thing to say. So maybe we could pray, I want to feel that. I want to feel that this is what I'm longing for is your glory, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. So let's stand up while the guys pray. And then we're going to finish by singing this through a few times. And then Paul's going to tell us what happens next, because I think then we're going to have some lunch in a little bit. Brilliant. Can we start with you, John? Yeah?
Lord, thank you that we know you're here, Lord. Would you just use us when you need us, Lord? Would you just use us to get more people here, Lord? Would you just pass your Holy Spirit through us, through one another, Lord? And Lord, that we know without you we're nothing, Lord. And you just help us to know that more. Amen.
Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will overflow in our hearts, Lord, and that we'll feel your presence. Amen.
Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the price you had to pay for us. I thank you, Lord, for removing our sins, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for bringing the Holy Spirit down here, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you bring the Holy Spirit into our hearts today. I thank you, God, for always keeping us safe, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will do great works in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name I pray.
Thank you, Lord, for everything. And please, Lord, you are welcome into our hearts, into every single person in this room. You are welcome into our hearts. You are welcome to spread the Holy Spirit. Please, God, can you be here for us? And can the Holy Spirit be here for us throughout all of our lives? In the name of Jesus, amen.
At the end of our time together, in about half an hour, we're going to be sharing some lunch. So please stay around at the end, because we've got some lovely food, a whole host of different dishes. And so please, at the end of this morning's time together, stay around, because we're going to have some lunch. And we're going to put some tables out here. So children, if you could stay, eat your food here in the hall. Please, children, don't take food outside anywhere. Can you please eat the food in the hall? Would be fantastic. Brilliant. Now, just want to advertise, 4 weekends time, seems a long time, I know. It's the 9th, 10th of June, it's the Fleet Festival. And the Fleet Festival is something where, together with three other churches, for the last few years, we've had a fantastic special weekend. On the Saturday, if you took an information sheet on the way in, then you'll notice that it details there the different events that are going on. It's a festival, it's an arts festival, and a crafts festival, and it's really put on by the churches to make an impact here in the part of London that we live. And so I'm going to ask if everyone would consider if you could give 1 or 2 hours on the Saturday, which is the 9th of June, in Kentish Town. There's lots of different activities happening. And it's just a great way. It's a very easy way and a great way of touching the lives of many people who don't know Jesus, many people who aren't Christians, in a very easy, simple way. We basically take over the library in Kentish Town, which is next to Kentish Town Tube Station. Outside the library, we're giving out cakes, free cakes. We're giving out balloons to children. We're giving out invites that basically advertise the different events. There are about 25 different events up and down Kentish Town High Street on that day. And there's all kinds of, there's Japanese calligraphy, and there's t-shirt painting, and there's dance, and there's music. Loads of different things going on. Free events to bless the people of Kentish Town. And our responsibility as a church is particularly to cover what's happening around the library. So if you could come and hand out cakes, all you need is a smile. That's all you need. You need a smile to hand out some cakes, as people are passing by. It's very easy to do. Or you could come inside the library and help with the children. We've got children's crafts. So you come into the library and help with the children that are doing the crafts. Or you can help, Bob and Vicky are doing family portraits. They're doing a photography thing, event, where families come, individuals come, couples come, and have their photograph taken for free and get a print of that as a way of blessing them. And then Nick's going to do an ECOS. He's going to do an English conversation on Saturday as well. It's a busy, busy day, but a fantastic day. If you could think about giving 1 hour or 2 hours of your Saturday on that day, on the 9th of June, it would be fantastic. It's of all the things we do in the year, it is the easiest thing to go as a church and touch people's lives who aren't Christians. Because people are so grateful. They're amazed. They say, what are you doing this for? Why is it free? And it's just such an opportunity. So if you can do any of those roles then we'd love to, near the time, I'll ask you to sign up, indicate what you can do. But if I say on the Sunday, we're going to be meeting with St. Luke's and Revelation Church and Chalk Farm Baptist Church, not here, but at St. Luke's. Again, near the time, I'll give you a map. It's not far from me. It's a short walk on the Sunday as we celebrate, have a barbecue. It's a great time. Anyway, that's what's happening then. Today, it's... Sally, come and tell us about the verse. There's a verse that Michelle's been teaching us. What's the verse for the day?
Can we have the memory verse up, please? It's always risky bumping into Michelle because she passes on jobs. So she has printed out the extra memory verses. They look the same on the front. They're on the back table there, but they have the new ones on the back, and it's the second one we're doing this month. It's from Philippians 1, verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you shall carry on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I did threaten to get my mum up to say it because she's here today, or Jean, but I don't think they'll be friends with me after.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. I'm just talking about Carroty Wood. Carroty Wood is but a few weeks away. Actually, it's not actually. It's about 6 weeks away. This special camp for the children, for the teenagers. If you would like to sponsor, if you're not going but would like to sponsor a child or a teenager that can't afford to pay the full amount, then please see Joe. Because it's a fantastic camp. Just such a life-changing experience in the woods over there, down there in Kent. And so children... teenagers, it's time to book in for this special weekend that's coming up. And it tells about ECOS. It's ECOS today, I do believe.
Yes, and it's not English Conversation on Saturday, but Sunday today. And just to explain what the process of this, for those of you that are unfamiliar with ECOS, we invite people to come and practice their English, if they're learning English, and often it's in a classroom. But when we have a lunch like this, they all come in for lunch, and we have a wonderful time, and they really love it. Very hard to finish, actually, on these lunch Sundays. So what will have happened is that, apart from the ones that have come along before, and we have quite a lot who keep on coming, which is really nice, but for the new ones, they will have gone to meetup.com. They'd have seen something that says, come to English Conversation on Sunday, organized by English teachers, sponsored by New Life Church, and they know that they've got a free international lunch today. But they'll come to the door at about 12:30 and probably be quite nervous. And so what I'm hoping is that we have two or three nice, friendly people who will sit at the desk out there. And then the key thing really is getting them integrated. So they'll go from the desk with a little badge, which means that they can queue barge. That means go to the front of the queue. And then somebody like me or somebody else will probably introduce some of them to you. And then it's kind of over to you to maybe take them through the lunch queue, find them somewhere to sit, and just engage in conversation. It's very, very easy, but very wonderful.
Okay, if you've got preschool children, so if your children are preschool, for half an hour now we've got a special... it's Philippa. Philippa's over there. If you just follow Philippa out. If you've got preschool children, if you want to take your children now, there's something special for them. And back in half an hour. So, Joe.
Very, very welcome to you if this is your first time at New Life. We have a very fun service with the all-age service today. We're waiting for more children, but we're going to go. So please stand. We're going to start with some worship. I'll just pray quickly before we start. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for being with us here today. Thank you that you paid for our sins on the cross and that we can stand here righteous in your sight. And as we worship you, would you come in a deeper way into our hearts, Lord, this morning. Amen. So can I invite the three ablayers, in fact, can all of the ablayers who are present please come forward? We're going to do a Bible reading shortly. Great. Sophie, if you want to, it's up to you if you want to come up, but no, cool, great. So some of the ablayers group who are all really amazing teenagers are going to do a reading shortly. But before they do that, we're going to invite some of the younger children to go and pray for ablayers because they all have their GCSEs coming up, but Sally soon. So if there's some children who want to come and pray, Joe's going to lead them in that time of prayer.
Yeah, we just thought, I know Anita played last week. These guys have been so wonderful. They help do a lot of stuff in the church. And they're all, apart from Aseli, they're starting their big exams this week for their GCSEs. So we wondered if, where is John and Joel? They were going to come and pray. And Jonathan, do you fancy coming up and praying? That would be so brilliant. These are guys from the group just below, Joel and John and Jonathan. And we're just going to ask them to lay hands on you and really pray for you. We're going to pass along the mic that God would so bless you. They've worked very hard. I know this. They are diligent students. But that God would really bless them in this next few weeks. Do you want to go behind them and pass the mic along? Is that all right?
Lord, thank you for bringing them to this stage. Lord, would you please help them with their GCSEs? Lord, would you give them new revision practices? Lord, would you just help them as they revise, Lord? No distractions, Lord. And you would just help them come out with great results, Lord. Amen.
Lord, we just commit the whole exam into your hands, because at the end of the day, you can revise as much as you want, but it's really in your power what happens. And we just pray, Lord, that you'll help them all in their exam. Amen.
Father, Lord, I thank you for bringing everyone here up to this stage, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for helping them through their life, Lord. I thank you for always keeping everyone here safe, Lord. I pray for their revision, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll really help them to revise, Lord, with no distractions, Lord. I pray, Lord, that as soon as they get into that hall where they do the exams, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll really help them to not have any pressure, Lord, and that they'll come up with good results, Lord. In Jesus' my name I pray.
Amen. Great. So, Baraka, Emily and Peter, do you want to stay up and do the reading?
Jesus began to teach beside Lake Galilee. The crowd that gathered round him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it. The boat was out in the water, and the crowd stood on the shore at the water's edge. He used parables to teach them many things.
Listen, once there was a man who went out to sow corn. As he scattered the seeds in the field, some of it fell along the path, and some birds came and ate it up. Some of it fell into rocky ground, where there was little soil. Seeds soon sprouted because the soil wasn't deep. Then when the sun came out, it burnt the young plants because the roots hadn't grown deep enough and the plants soon dried up. Some of these seeds fell along thorn bushes which grew and choked the plants and they didn't produce any corn. But some of the seeds fell into good soil and the plants sprouted, grew and produced corn. Some had 60, some had 30 and others 100.
And then Jesus concluded,
"Listen then if you have ears."
When Jesus was alone, some of those who had heard him came to him with the 12 disciples and asked him to explain the parables. Jesus answered,
"When Jesus was alone, you have been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but others who are on the outside hear all things by the means of parables, so that Isaiah says,
'They may look and look, yet not see. They may listen and listen, yet not understand. For if they did, they would turn to God, and he would forgive them.'"
Then Jesus asked them,
"Do you understand this parable? How then will you ever understand any parable? The sower is so God's message. Some of them are like the seeds that fall along the path, and as soon as they hear the message, Satan comes and takes it away. Other people are like the seeds that fall on rocky ground. As soon as they hear the message, they receive it gladly, but it does not sink deep into them, and it does not last long. So when the trouble or persecution comes, because of the message, they give up at once. Other people are like the seeds sown among the thorn bushes. These are the ones who hear the message and worries about their life, and the love for riches and all other kinds of desires crowd and choke the message, and they don't bear fruit. But other people are like the seeds in the sown good soil. They hear the message, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100.
Wow, fantastic, guys. I need Peter to stay up and you guys to head back. That is just fantastic. We're going to try and act this out now, okay? It's a famous, famous story, isn't it? It's so familiar that it's almost hard to hear the words, but it's the most incredible story, this story. So we are going to try and act this out to bring it to life, okay? We're minus quite a lot of the children this morning, so we may need some adult help, all right? So we need a cast. We need a strong, happy farmer. Who would like to be the strong, happy farmer? Me ever think. Abigail's going to be the strong, happy farmer. Brilliant. We've got a shepherd's crook as well. We need some seeds. We need some people who would be seeds. Okay, you've got to kind of pretend to be a seed. Denzel, Sinan, guys, do you want to come up? No, Joseph? Yeah? Do you want to come up? Okay, Joe's going to come up. Joanna? Brilliant. Anna, could you be a seed? Brilliant. We got two lady seeds so far. We could do with some boy seeds as well. Look, we got a lady farmer as well. Come on. Johnny's going to be a seed. Fantastic. You get to wear a hat. Maybe Luke could be a seed as well. Luke's going to be a seed. Okay. We need some great birds. Who would be... Ah, you see, you were waiting for a bigger part, weren't you? Okay, so Joseph is going to be a great bird, swooping down. He has a slightly aggressive part here. I think there's a costume in there. We've even brought some good soil with us. Look, do you want to see the good soil? Look, good soil, see? That's where the seeds are going to go. Right, who else do we need? We need a bright, happy sun. Oh, we haven't got a costume for that. We need a bright, happy sun. We have got a blonde wig, actually. David, would you like to come and be the bright, happy sun? You don't have to wear the blonde wig, but you can. Well volunteered. I saw your hand move when you were talking to Gavin, but there we go. I think everyone had better sit very still. We need some weeds. We need weeds. Joe, we need you to come and be a weed. Yes, yes, definitely. Holly, do you fancy coming and being a weed? Everyone suddenly look very nervous and look at their feet. I think that's probably enough, actually. I think we're just about there. Does everybody roughly know what they are? No, that's okay. You're going to find out in a minute. So we need the farmer with the seeds. So if you're a seed, you need to come and be with the lady farmer. What are you? You're the son. You're an unusual son. That's okay. And where's the dangerous fast-growing weeds? Ah, these are dangerous fast-growing weeds. Maybe come over here with the birds, with the dangerous-looking bird. Okay, let's give this a whirl. Peter and I are going to try and do this.
We ready? There was once a strong, happy farmer.
Oh, hang on a minute. I forgot, sorry, there's an audience bit. Okay, there's an audience bit. I know you're all looking very relieved. But what we need you to do, okay, is there's a bit where the rain comes down, so that's quite easy. And then the sun's rising up. Not too big, the sun's, otherwise we're going to hit people. So the rain came down. Oh, yeah, there's that as well. You could do that if you want. That is quite good, sound effects. So that's the rain coming down, and then this is the sun coming up. Brilliant. At one point, you have to do it quite fast, but not violently, okay? Okay, brilliant.
There was another strong, happy farmer who had some seeds to sow. They varied in size. They were pretty big.
They were pretty big seeds. Anyway, he herded them all out towards his field. You're herding them along. Brilliant. And began to throw some of them. So the first one out. Well, just... No, that's the good soil. You've got to throw them over here a bit.
But the first seeds that he sowed fell onto a hard path and just sat there. They couldn't start to grow because the ground was much too hard. Then suddenly, as if from nowhere, some great birds came down. And whizzed out so much as a how's your father? They stole the seeds away.
And so he sowed some more seed, another seed. And the next seed that he threw out fell among the rocks. So over among the rocks. And unlike the first seed, this seed began to slowly grow up. But then the great sun came, beating down his great beams upon the poor little plant, and the plant began to wither and fell slowly to the ground. It was like a solar storm or something.
The third lots of seeds fell among the weeds. They had some nice soil and began to slowly grow up, but beside them, some big, dangerous-looking seeds, weeds, were also growing. The little seeds began to quake and sway. They did not like these great weeds at all. And the weeds began to crush, gently, the little stems of wheat that were growing. And so the little seeds fell slowly to the ground as well.
That great seed has fallen. But now we have some good news. At last, the fourth seed fell onto the good soil. He's allowed to fall onto the nice rug, onto the good soil. And the rain came. The rain came. And the sun came up. And the rain came. And the sun came up. And the rain came. And the sun came up. Where are we? Oh, yeah. And in no time at all, the seed began to grow. He begins to grow. And the rain came down again. And the sun rose up. And the rain came. And the sun rose up until, enough sun and rain, until the farmer could see there was a harvest field, tall, full of beautiful golden wheat, waving in the summer breeze.
At last, the farmer had his harvest, and the crowd cheered. as he celebrated this good news.
The end. You may be thrilled to know it's the end. Guys, that was magnificent. That was completely instant, you know. It was impressive. Well done. You can surrender your costumes. Well done for the harvest. Oh, dear. Right. I need three of the children to stay up. Yes, brilliant. Abigail, Joe. Is there one more person who would... Where's... Is there someone else who would stay up? They've all disappeared. Anna, do you want to quickly come back up? Poor Anna, she's very busy. She's been playing as well. This story, and we're going to find out a bit more about it this morning, is all about our hearts. So we're just going to show you... Oh, Anna, it's okay. Yeah, Joseph, that's okay. Brilliant. Joseph, do you want to stand here? So Joseph has got the first heart. Can you hold it up a bit? This is the rocks and the path. We've kind of combined it, all right? So that's the first two, where the seed fell on the path and then also fell on the rocks. Joe has got the weeds, where the seed fell down and then the weeds came up and crushed it, as they dramatically did in our play. And then finally we got this one, which is the harvest heart. This is the heart that gets a harvest. This is what we're wanting for our own lives and for our own hearts. So Abigail, would you be brave enough to pray for us and ask that God would really work in our hearts today? Yeah? Brilliant. Let's close our eyes while she prays. Brilliant, brilliant.
Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful world. Please, God, can you help us to understand the Bible better? And can you help us to understand your story? Please, God, may our hearts be soft. Can you help our hearts to be like the good soil, like the good harvest? Can we not have weeds growing in our heart? Can we not have rocks in our heart? Please, God, can we sin if we know that we've done something wrong? Please, God, can we care about others? Can we not be selfish? Can we not argue with our mums and dads? Can we not argue with our brothers and sisters? Can you help us to obey you, Lord? Lord, can you be here for us? Can you be here for all of us, every single person in this room? In the name of Jesus, amen.
Fantastic. Wonderful, guys. Well done. Do you want us to go and sit down? We're going to sing. We're going to sing a wonderful song that we've sung quite a bit in Flame, which is the kids' group, over the last few weeks. And it starts, when you are my strength when I am weak. So if you feel weak today, God is our strength. At the moment in our own lives, in our own family, we've got quite a storm going on. And we felt very weak. But he has been our strength and he's gone on being our strength. So if things are difficult, he comes to help us. Then it says this amazing thing, you are the treasure that I seek. This is what God is wanting, that we would search for him. And then it says, seeking you is a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. To give up on this, we'd be crazy. That's what the song is saying. Because he's like this jewel. You are my all in all. And then it's got a wonderful chorus where it says, Jesus, Lamb of God. Here it is, very simple words. Worthy is your name. And in Flame, we've been lifting up our hands while we sing the chorus. You don't have to at all, but if you'd like to, you can. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. So let's stand and we're going to sing this and Barbara's going to lead it.